This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Wrestling Right Up on Free FM, RFM, and MP. As always, I'm Grady on live on Discord. We got Josh.
Hey.
Two big shows this past weekend, Clash in Italy as well as AAA, Noche de los Grandes. And let's start off with that AAA show. Got split into two nights, some matches still coming up, but we got four of the matches this weekend. First up, AAA Cruiserweight Championship was on the line, coming into it Laredo Kid with a really long 400 plus day reign. Ultimately being knocked down by Rey Fénix.
Yeah. Really good match. I do think that there will be a segment on Raw in the next couple of weeks that will have Rey and Penta standing next to each other with their titles. Just because I think that'll be quite the scene. And quite the sight. When I heard how long Laredo Kid had been the champion, I was like, yeah, I think the title's changing hands. And honestly, probably not a better person that could have taken the title off of him that's WWE-ish than Rey Fénix, who already has an establishment down there.
Yeah, I think it was cool to... Like, when they came in, I wanted both success for both Rey and for Penta. And it seemed as though, we discussed at length last week, Penta just connecting, breaking through Intercontinental Championship. We're talking potentially World Championship matches. Fénix floundering a little bit on SmackDown, not quite finding his footing or not quite finding the spot on the card the way that Penta did. Comes down to AAA, starts a feud with Laredo. Could be a start of something. I'm hoping it's not, you know, a AAA jail kind of position, but if this connects him, we've already seen, I'm sure we'll talk about the main event, how success can transfer from AAA into the main roster. It's not as hard cut and cut off as, you know, a run in TNA might have been. People might not have any clue. Doing stuff in AAA is going to raise your main roster profile.
Yeah, and honestly, there's a bunch of guys in AAA that he could have great matches with, guys from the main roster that could come down and have a great match for that Cruiserweight Championship. Few of them that are wearing masks that otherwise would not have anything to do from the main roster could also have matches with them.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to see what they pull off here. And as you said about it appearing on Raw, there's also a good chance that the AAA Cruiserweight Championship could be shown on the main roster as well. Which, other than Dom's mega championship and occasionally, you know, a one-off appearance by like Dr. Wagner Jr. or somebody like that, not super showing. So, hey, bring it around, tour it around, and let's hope this raises Fénix's stock up. Talking about a couple of guys from the main roster, if you weren't paying attention to AAA, you had blinders on entirely, you might be asking, where did the War Raiders go? Well, they popped on down to Mexico, and now they are our AAA Tag Team Champions.
I raise hands for that, because I didn't pay much attention, but yeah, they had a good match. Good story with what was going on in the ring. It's been weird for the Viking experience, War Raiders, whatever you want to call them. Something that was referenced during the match by Rey Mysterio, of all people.
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of Ray's commentary. Let's not get started on that.
Yeah. I actually loved it. I thought the stuff that he did, and JBL's the ultimate heel commentator, mm-hmm. and I missed him as on the main roster, so I was very happy to hear him there. But yeah, it is what it is. It's like, yeah, they've gone on a vacation, and they've captured tag titles that they never had before. And it was really, this match was really more about the issues between Pagano and Psycho Clown than it was anything than the actual tag match.
Yeah, I think you could see them building, right? If you're watching the AAA Weekly show, they had beef. They started like they weren't communicating really well. And what I do think the commentary team for AAA do well is the English commentary team, is they do try and give you those filling in tidbits. They sort of try to explain why Pagano might be feeling the way he's feeling, why Psycho Clown might be doing what he's doing. And that lets you, you know, understand these stories without having to watch the weekly constantly. And yeah, it was all about those two exploding.
And then you have Rey Mysterio translating grunts. Mm-hmm. Which I watched the video by package of the WWE pass for our main event that was like 45 minutes long just before we started recording. Because I hadn't done that before. And I died laughing at that.
It was a choice. It was definitely a choice. But yeah, excited to see what the War Raiders can do down here. It's always, you know, a promotion like AAA, you know, you got lots of little luchadors flying around, and I think the War Raiders do well being, you know, that big hoss opponent standing across there. I'm sure them holding the tag titles, they'll have, you know, the cruiserweights, the luchas flying around trying to take them down. And ultimately, when one team does, I'm sure it'll be, you know, a big pop. They're able to take down the big boys, take down the giants. Speaking about Vikings, no, I'm not going to try to go there. AAA Latin American Championship Vikingo coming out on top of Dr. Wagner Jr.
Yeah, it was another good match. And also, I'm very happy for Omos and stuff that he's doing down there, because he's a bigger deal down there than he's ever been up here. So very happy for that. I think that they're building maybe eventually the Vikingo losing the title to Mini Vikingo. I don't know for sure. But it certainly looks like that at least at some point there'll be a feud between the two of them.
Yeah, I gotta go on a slight rant because this took me a really long time to try and figure out the lineage of Mexican wrestling names, right? And to me, you know, you got Dr. Wagner, you got Dr. Wagner Jr. Makes sense. My partner told me El Hijo Del is son of, so El Hijo Del Vikingo in this case is son of Vikingo. Mini Vikingo is son of Vikingo's brother, like younger brother, but then there's also a Vikingo Jr. and there's, I give up. It was painful to try and figure it out.
Yeah,
but
I would have stopped you had I been talking to you, because you have to remember that Rey Mysterio debuted as Rey Mysterio Jr.
Mm-hmm.
to his uncle.
That, yeah, sometimes it's right gimmick, sometimes it's blood.
Yeah, that right there should have been well, let's not try to make this make any sense.
Or even Penta is Pentagon Jr. or Pentagon 2. I think it was actually Pentagon 3. Who, yep. Okay, yep. TLDR, I believe Mini Vikingo and the current incarnation of Vikingo, our Latin American champion, are brothers. So I definitely see a feud there, and Mini Vikingo's getting shown more and more. He's on, I think it's a five-way match for the second half of Noche de los Grandes. So let's see how high his star ends up going. Main event, Mask versus Mask. It was El Grande Americano versus El Grande Americano. We had all sorts of interferences, callbacks, It was everything you wanted it to be, as you said, about 45 minutes. Classic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the 45 minutes was, that I was talking about was just the how did we get here video that WWE produced. This match was 33 minutes long, and it did not feel like it. It was balls to the wall. They went at it for 33 minutes. They bled. They cried. They tears. And what about that entrance for El Grande Americano?
Which one?
the real one. The the only one now.
That is true.
But yeah, I mean, that was incredible. The feeling of watching it. when he came out and they started playing his actual theme, and his hat fell off, and the mariachi guy just calmly picks it up and puts it back on his head. That was incredible, because it was like showing that the Mexican people are behind him. Even, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but that was incredible. And then just everything that they did from start to finish with that entire entrance, it made me feel like I was watching a huge, like, WrestleMania entrance for a beloved babyface. And that's what El Grande Americano is.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah.
Here you go.
Everything that we keep saying this when it comes to this particular character. This was a character that had a expiration date when it was first debuted for the original El Grande Americano. Then the guy got hurt, and they said, "Okay, we're going to keep this going by inserting this person in," and that person embraced it in a way that is very rare to see. If more people embraced their characters the way Kaiser has embraced this particular character, there'd be a lot less shoot interviews out there, because it may not have worked, but it would have been a lot better than what your half-heartedness did. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was... I've definitely seen it likened to a big WrestleMania match, and it's insane, you know, that when you think about the pure logistics behind the match. As you say, it was a gimmick that was to make fun of everything. It was an American guy pretending to be a Mexican luchador with a whole bunch of history, and then switched out. Now you got Ludwig pretending to be the Gable who was being the luchador, and it's an insane how did we get here. And ultimately it feels like one of the biggest matches of the year, and it was over two dudes feuding over the same name that just, it worked.
And I will say this right now, it may spoil something that we're planning to do in a few weeks. This was match of year so far. I think
that's a fair statement.
Yeah. I can't think of a single match that I've seen that I would put over this one. It was incredible from bell to bell. And not only that, but the stuff after the match. The things that the Gable said, showing the respect that he's going to come back to AAA at some point. And when he does, he will be a huge babyface, just like El Grande Americano, because he now shows respect to him. And also, this whole gimmick was really created to introduce Penta, which we referenced earlier. this was the purest and most amazing thing that you can watch as a wrestling fan. And this is a match that I could say you could show somebody that isn't a wrestling fan in order to try to show them what it is all about. Because that it had everything that you would want in a wrestling match. And ultimately, the right person won. And we're eventually going to get El Grande Americano versus Dominic Mysterio for the AAA title.
Yeah, I think Triple Mania is coming up, if I recall How fast can Greece scroll?
Unite event in September, I believe.
There we go. That is, I guess, where the coronation could occur. It could come before then. But it really, it's a matter of time. El Grande Americano winning the Raid of Reyes, Dominic Mysterio being, you know, the hated champion who's run off with the title and barely defends it. This match needed to happen before either of these folks won the championship, and it really just encapsulates everything. You go from Raid of Reyes winning the Mask versus Mask, winning the AAA Mega Championship, and then you could sit on this guy for a year as champion. I think for people who haven't watched AAA, who haven't watched that match, which was screened on Netflix immediately following Raw, that is how hyped it was. Watch that and understand fully how embraced El Grande Americano is.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is go to YouTube. Mm-hmm. On WWE's YouTube page, they show the entire event is there. Watch the entire event. Don't just watch the main event. Watch the whole event. Because it was really, really good.
Yeah. The fact that we've sat here and we've talked for probably about two-thirds of the show by the time we put in the entrance theme about the AAA show and not the WWE Clash in Italy, that's just how awesome this AAA show was. But I will cut us off, and I will play El Grande Americano's theme to transition us, because we do have to get to Clash in Italy, and his theme is playing for you right about now. Back for wrestling on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady. He's Josh. Clash in Italy. Cody Rhodes, Gunther for the WWE Championship. Thought maybe Gunther would claim it. Instead, we're just opening up with a nice little dirty finish. Gunther's leg under the rope doesn't get seen by the ref. Cody retains. Presumable rematch down the line.
Probably at Night of Champions. Probably with the stipulation. By the way, Cody Rhodes is the only person to defeat Gunther twice since he gained the WWE.
That is an interesting statistic.
Gunther's only lost 8 times. Twice to Cody.
Cody's his kryptonite? I don't know, this one was a bit of a dirty finish. We'll see how it pays off, but it's definitely going to be a rematch down the line for these two.
I still say I think the person that should take the title up of Cody is Sammy, a heel Sammy.
Yeah, we got a big taste of that with his match against Matt Cardona on SmackDown. Sammy definitely getting there. Looking at that, you know, top folks on SmackDown, I'd start listing Sammy there. He's moving on up. But we'll have to wait and see. Instead, WWE Women's Championship, Rhea Ripley, Jade Cargill, never bet against Double R.
Yeah, not so surprised. It is what it is. I don't think anybody was ever going to expect a 5-star match between these two. But it was fine. And ultimately, we do get the move on from Jade and Rhea, and who knows what's next for her.
Yeah, there was a little bit of, you know, like, hinky interference with Charlotte Flair helping Rhea and with Jade's crew helping Jade, but it does feel like this was it. Jade picked up the win at Saturday night's main event in the six-man tag. Rhea defends here. Charlotte Flair does look like an obvious next challenger, but we do have to get through the Queen of the Ring tournament, where if, you know, she's busy with that, Rhea won't defend at Night of Champions. We've got SummerSlam down for the winner of that. So it's a few jigsaw puzzle pieces that we got to move around and see where they all fall. But I think it is interesting that for the Queen of the Ring, the Fatal 4-Way, on the other side, you know, you got Sol Ruka and Lyra Valkyria, but you do have Charlotte Flair and Jade Cargill both in the same Fatal 4-Way opening match for the Queen of the Ring. So maybe we're not actually spinning them off into a title feud. Maybe we're just spinning those two off into a non-title feud and doing Flair-Cargill. I don't know just yet. I talked about Sol Ruka being in that Fatal 4-Way while she is going into it as the Women's Intercontinental Champion, as she did defeat Becky Lynch, thanks to Crooked Jessica Carr, of course.
It is what it is, but it's like, this is what, this was the right call. Sol Ruka winning was the right thing. I don't know what, obviously, I think it's finally time to spin Becky away from this particular title, and I don't know when, but it does feel inevitable that we are getting a match between Jessica Carr and Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I was chatting with my partner, a very casual fan, while we were watching the show, and they asked, how does Jessica Carr keep getting assigned to every single Becky Lynch match? And I couldn't figure out the storyline reason that somehow Jessica's on all of these matches, but not, you know, every other match. And I was like, because they hate each other. That's why. But it does feel like they're going to clash. I think it's a big enough match to put on something like a SummerSlam, but, I get that maybe it's not. For some people, it could lead to something where Jessica has to put a, you know, riffing job on the line. Becky wants her fired, and she sort of says, like, I'll defend myself, thank you very much, and gets into a match with Becky. We'll have to see, but I want to see it. I want to see that develop. We've had this Jessica Carr screwing over Becky Lynch feud going for quite a while now. I think it is time to pull the trigger and do something between the two of them on it. Otherwise, it's going to drag on a little bit. The other two options are it drags or you don't conclude it, both of which are a bit sad for me. So even if it is just a, you know, 5 to 10 minute blow off on a B pay-per-view, I'll take it rather than dropping the feud entirely. I do think it is worthy of making it to SummerSlam, especially being 2 days, but it's not my choice. Brock Lesnar, Oba Femi 2. We'd said multiple times we were probably going to get a third match between them. Well, you got to go 50-50 to get that third match, typically.
Yeah, unless your name is Cody Rhodes against Brock Lesnar or against Seth Rollins. It is one of those things. It's like, but even though Oba lost, he still looks badass in this because it took 7 F5s to put him down. 7. How many people has Brock beaten with just 1? Let alone needing 7 to put somebody down.
Yeah, it's I kind of want to count now. Most F5s taken during a match, you know, career F5s taken, but it would mean watching a whole lot of Brock Lesnar matches. I think it's not my preference for where the story went. My preference would have been to just leave Oba looking like a monster from WrestleMania and us to move on, but if we are going to do a third match, I will forgive this match if Oba wins the third. If for some weird reason Brock Lesnar wins the third, I'm going to hate the entire feud. I need Oba to come out on top, and then you can excuse the 50-50 in the middle, right? I do look at King of the Ring, much like we talked about Queen of the Ring for a little while. Oba Femi did win his opening round matchup, is going to be going to the semifinals of that. as far as I can see, we've got Night of Champions, where the King of the Ring finals will be. We've got a Saturday night's main event, and then we have SummerSlam. So we'll see how he gets booked going through those. I do still kind of want Obafemi to win King of the Ring. So I don't know where you do his third match, given the winner does get a title shot. But I don't know. Things have shocked me further. Then lastly, but not leastly, Roman Reigns, Jacob Fatu, World Heavyweight Championship on the line. Once again, you never bet against the double R.
It was a really good match. I don't know how injured Jacob Fatu was going into this, but he certainly didn't look that bad during this match. Once I found out that it was the tribal chief position was on the line, then I knew instantly that it was just going to be Roman was going to win. I believe Jacob had a chance with it just being a no disqualification match for the world title. But yeah, Roman's not losing that position until he's ready to lose it. But I will say this, while on Raw, Fatu did acknowledge Roman, he's definitely, clearly, very unhappy with the situation. I think he may be trying to destroy the bloodline from within.
He was definitely making eyes with Solo Sikoa and the MFTs, or what's left of the MFTs. And I think that's interesting. We obviously still have Tama Tonga not particularly liking Solo Sikoa in that group, so we'll have to wait and see how it all filters out. There's a chance where Solo Sikoa's got to come crawling back to his brothers and join that side of the bloodline because Jacob Fatu and the Tongans have gone running off on the other side. Had they left just one more Tongan employed, Tongaloa, then it would have just been Fatu and the three brothers, which I think would be an interesting crew, to say the least. But we'll see how it all develops. It does feel a little like very similar to Jey Uso having to acknowledge Roman, but not really wanting to be there. We'll just have to see how it all plays out in the coming weeks, really. Alrighty, well, that is all we have time for this week. It's been great talking to you.
Bye-bye.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/WrestlingRNDUp, our Twitter page, twitter.com/WrestlingRNDUp, or our YouTube page, youtube.com/WrestlingRNDUp. And we will catch you next week. Got no time to waste. Tonight's the big go. Strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from three, go. Press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning. We're fearless and crowd stunning. Never win ever on record. There's no one to protect you. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.